Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Good morning. Glad that y'all are here this morning. Half the crowd still out in the foyer. Can y'all get in here? No. If you're watching from home this morning, hope you're enjoying at home and not watching. There's actually, I think, football on TV on Sunday morning overseas or something. So glad that you're here. This is this month that we're calling it Experience Grace. Do we have that slide, Maddie? Maybe. Hattie, sorry. You got a slide for next? Let's see. There it is. Thank you. Okay. All right. So here's what we're doing for the next 31 days starting today. It's called Experience Grace. It's for the whole church. It's worship. We're going to have several different special things. We're having a grace party, a church-wide grace party celebration. We're having a Grace Fall Festival. We're having every day your email. You're going to get an email. We just call it their grace stories or grace devotionals. And so you should have got one of those early this morning. Anybody read theirs? Who reads emails? Thank you for reading your email on Sunday. Thank you. Janie, thank you. I see that hand. Oh, yeah, you got to do something during the sermon, right? Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so, but one of the big things we do is we pray. Because we know unless the Lord builds this house, those that build it labor in vain. So we're inviting all of you to be a part of a 24/7 nonstop prayer vigil. And do we have that slide? Okay, so this is, you can do that QR code and sign up. You can go straight there. Or there's physical handouts you can sign up in the back. And so what we're going to do in a little bit is the ushers are going to lock the church, and so you can't get out until you sign up. No, we won't do that. But please sign up, okay? It takes 168 people to do 1 hour a day to cover 24/7 prayer vigil during the month of October. So please help, because I know if we think that God's going to do something because of us, we're all wrong. He's waiting on us to trust him to do something. So please sign up and be praying, okay? All right, so hold on. I got my wrong piece of note here. This week, our daughter Haley, her two most favorite worlds had a cataclysmic collision. And so I don't know if you know, but last Sunday, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce officially kind of their relationship. So here's Taylor Swift right here. So last Sunday, Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce officially became a couple. So last Sunday, the NFL experienced what is being called the Taylor Swift effect. Okay, so what that means is 24 million people tuned in to watch this game, the most ever for just a Sunday NFL football game. And by the way, the football game was a total blowout, all right? The game had a 64% increase in female viewers. Travis Kelce's jersey spiked in sales 400% and became one of the top five selling jerseys in all of the NFL. Travis Kelce gained 300 Instagram followers in less than 24 hours after the game. Travis and Jason Kelce's podcast became the number one listened to podcast in all of America last week. The Jets, who the Chiefs play today, they sold more tickets on the Monday after the game than they sold more season single tickets than they had the whole season, and doubled their sales in that one day. And then this picture, Heinz Foods released a new condiment called ketchup and seemingly ranch after Taylor was seen eating a chicken finger right with ketchup with ranch in the game. Isn't that crazy? So anyway, I share all that to say, if the presence of Taylor Swift at a football game can make that much difference, I wonder how much difference the presence of Jesus would make here in this place today. How much difference the presence of Jesus would make if we really made ourselves available and aware of his presence. That's my invitation to you this morning. Lord Jesus, come. Be present in this place. Lord, come and let us be stirred by your great love and your amazing grace at work in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, and just do whatever it is that needs to be done in every single person here. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. God, we thank you this morning for your amazing grace. God, your unconditional, unmerited love that accepts us wherever we are and takes us wherever we need to be. Thank you for that grace, God. No matter how great our sin or how great our hurt or how great our brokenness, Lord, your grace is greater. So, Lord, avail your grace. Pour out your grace by your very Holy Spirit this very morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're flipping this morning. We're not singing first, we're preaching first. We're all gonna be shocked. Anyway, stand, please stand here and receive the word of the Lord this morning. This is from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Lord Jesus, this morning, we just invite you here to come and unpack our load. We invite you here this morning to come and meet us in the midst of our weariness, in the midst of our burdens, in the midst of our struggles. And Lord, as you come, we don't want to just hear about you. We don't want to just read your word on the screen. We want your word to become alive in us, for us, to us, and through us. So Lord, come. Holy Spirit, come. Speak to us, move in us this very morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. So most of y'all have probably heard about LaGuardia Airport, right? It's named after Fiorello LaGuardia, who was mayor of New York City during the worst days of the Great Depression and all through World War II. LaGuardia was called by the New Yorkers. He was very popular at that time. They called him the Little Flower because he was 5'4" tall and often wore a carnation in his lapel. LaGuardia was a colorful character who used to go on fire and rescue calls with the New York City fire trucks. He used to go on bootlegging raids with the New York police, and he used to take entire orphanages to the baseball games. One bitterly cold night in January of 1935, the mayor turned up at a night court that served the poorest ward of the city. LaGuardia dismissed the judge for the evening, and he took over the bench himself. Within a few minutes, a tattered old woman was brought before him. The old woman was charged with stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her, that her daughter was sick, and that her two grandchildren were starving. But the shopkeeper from whom the bread was stolen, he refused to drop the charges. He said, it's a real hard neighborhood, Your Honor. She's got to be punished to teach other people around here a lesson." LaGuardia sighed. He turned to the woman and said, "I've got to punish you. The law makes no exceptions. $10 or 10 days in jail." But even as he pronounced the sentence, he reached into his pocket and he extracted a bill and he tossed it into his famous sombrero. And he said, "Here's the $10 fine, which I now remit. And furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in the courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person had to steal bread for her grandchildren to eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant." Well, the following day, the New York Times reported that $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered old lady who had stolen a loaf of bread. 50 cents of that amount came from, the red-faced, store owner. Some 70 other folks who were there, criminals, petty criminals, people with traffic violations, New York City policemen, each of whom had just paid their 50 cents for the privilege of doing so, they all stood to their feet and they gave the mayor a standing ovation. You see, when we see grace, we applaud it. When we see grace, we know that we need it. And I pray that even this morning, when we see grace, it will be something that we both long for and something, we long to receive, but also something we long to share with others. Jesus' invitation here in Matthew 28 is all about God's grace. He longs for this grace to be made known, be made real in your life, in my life this morning. So this morning, four questions about God's grace. First is who? Who is God's grace for? Jesus says, come unto me all, right? Come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Not just those of us sitting in this room, right? Not just those that look like me, vote like me, think like me, but God so loved the world. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Our theme verse for the whole month of October is Hebrews 12:15. It says, see to it that no one misses out on the grace of God. You know the way most of life works, right? I mean, you get picked, you get chosen because of how smart you are, how skilled you are, how rich you are, or how powerful you are, or how fast you are, or how pretty you are, or how tall you are, or how whatever you are. But Jesus says, come unto me all. Come unto me all. John 7:37, Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him or her, if anyone is thirsty, let him or her come to me and drink. We've got a great youth group here at St. Luke's, a great youth pastor, great youth leaders, and on any given Sunday night, they often play this game called basketball. Y'all know basketball, right? Five people over here on this team, five people on this team, right? Which would probably mean the top 10 most, athletic boys or girls would be the ones on the court and everybody else would just be watching. But that's not how we roll at St. Luke's. We all play basketball. And it's wild and crazy and chaotic, a fun game where everybody ends up getting in the game and getting on the court all at the same time. And they even let an old man like me play with them, It's all play. And God's grace is for all. This morning, this ongoing and transforming, powerful offer of God's grace is to every single person here. Jesus wants you. Jesus chooses you. Jesus loves you. He says, come unto me all. Second question about God's grace is what? What are we being asked to do? We are being asked to come to Jesus. Come unto me, Jesus says. We're being asked to simply move from where we are, right, to where we are with Jesus. We're being asked to simply move from this place, whatever this place is in your life this morning, to whatever the place that Jesus is. Move to him. We're not being asked to do any kind of religious activity to earn our salvation. We are simply being asked to get ourselves into connection, to get ourselves in relationship with Jesus. Here's the deal about coming or going to where Jesus is. You can't stay where you are. You can't be immobile and come to Jesus at the same time. I can't just say, well, I'm here, and go to him. You got to be willing to move. To come to Jesus is to move. To come to Jesus is to move to Jesus. Movement is required. A change of direction is required. The intentionality of actively going and seeking after Jesus is required. Now, please understand me. I'm not speaking against Psalm 46:10. I believe Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Stillness in the presence of God is all about surrender to God. And surrender to God, surrender is exactly the kind of movement, right? Surrender is exactly the kind of movement that Jesus is asking you and me to make toward Him and to Him in our lives. Check out Matthew chapter 4, very beginning of Jesus' ministry. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And they were casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. But Jesus said to them, "Follow me. Come with me. Come after me. And I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and they followed Jesus. They left their jobs, they left their hometown, they left their nets, they left their families, they left where they were so they could go where Jesus was, so that they could go and be with Him. They had to detach themselves, right? They had to detach themselves from all their stuff. They had to detach themselves from their current location, their current situation, so that they could attach themselves to Jesus. This morning, what do you need to let go of? What do you need to detach yourself from so that you can attach yourself to Him? What is it that you need to detach yourself from so that you can come all the way to Jesus? Third question about God's grace is why? Why do we need God's grace? Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are weary, all who are heavy laden." The Greek word for weary is kapos, and it literally means to strike a blow, right? To strike a blow that is so hard that it seriously weakens or debilitates somebody. Kapos is when we're experiencing a deep sense of fatigue, an extreme weariness with seemingly no solution, no remedy in sight. And the Greek word for heavy laden is fortizo, and it means to be overloaded or weighted down. We got so much on our plates or in our hearts. There's so many burdens. The truth is, we can barely even move. Jesus says, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come unto me, because you need me to unpack your load and give you rest." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are dirty and stained by sin. Come unto me, because you need to be forgiven of your sin and let me make you clean." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are lonely, because I will give you love." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are addicted. Come unto me, because I can set you free." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are empty, and I will make you full." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are grieving. Come unto me, because I will give you my comfort and my presence." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are lost. Come unto me, and I will be your way." Come unto me. Look, man, haven't we all experienced what it is to come after something else, to go after something else? And when we get there, all we figure out and find out is that that's something that we thought was going to fill us up leaves us empty. Not Jesus. Not now, not ever. Come unto Jesus. I heard this week about a photographer who was taking class pictures of first graders at an elementary school. And as he was snapping the pics, he was making, you know, casual small talk to the kids to kind of put them at ease. And so he asked one little girl, he said, "What are you going to be when you grow up?" And the little girl said, "Tired. When I grow up, I'm going to be tired." You see, children can be pretty perceptive, can't they? I mean, anybody out there this morning feel tired, weary, worn out, stressed out, burdened, loaded down with worries and problems and all kinds of other stuff that you cannot fix, Jesus says, come, no matter who you are, come, come unto me. The final question about experiencing God's grace is how? How is God's grace going to actually be experienced in our lives? Well, His grace is going to give us His rest, praise God. His grace is going to give us His restoration. His grace is going to give us both the balance and the power, right? We can't be balanced when we're loaded down. He's going to unload us. He's going to give us the balance and the power to be who He desires us to be, because we're going to yoke ourselves, connect ourselves to Him. He will take our loads. We will be hooked to Him, and He will guide our paths, and He will get us to where we need to be, because we are now no longer taking care of ourselves. We're now fully trusting the full weight of who we are into the full reality of who He is. There's an old story about the driver of a wagon who was on his way to market when he overtook this old man carrying this heavy load, and taking compassion on the man, the driver invited the old man to ride in his wagon. Gratefully, the man accepted, and after a few minutes, the driver turned to see how the man was doing in the back, and to his surprise, he found the old man still straining under the heavy weight of his load. He had not taken the burden off his shoulders. The driver said, "Brother, what are you doing?" And the old man explained, "Well, I know you said you would carry me, but I didn't know that you would also carry my burden." You see, far too many of us say that we belong to Jesus. We say that our lives are in His strong and powerful hands, but truth be told, we're still carrying the load. Truth be told, we're still trusting in ourselves to get all of this done, rather than giving our all to Him. This morning, as we come to communion, this holy table of grace, it's time to lay down your burdens. It's time to unpack your worn out hearts. It's time to let go of the stuff that is on the inside of you that's killing you. It's time to stop striving and start surrendering the full weight of your life into the full weight of Jesus. The beautiful, powerful, loving, grace-filled arms of Jesus. I want to close this morning with a story from Pastor Mike Cleveland. Mike tells a story from World War II when the Marines captured the island of Saipan, and the Japanese that were in control of that island ordered the Japanese inhabitants to kill themselves by jumping off of a cliff. Mike says this. He said, "I was in Saipan in 1984, and I was at the very hill where the Japanese ordered their own people to jump off and kill themselves. Hundreds of feet below are the rocks and waters of the beach. It's a very steep drop-off, which meant instant death. So the American translators yelled through bullhorns that if those on the cliff would come to the U.S. side, that they would be spared, that they would be saved. Over and over again, they yelled three Japanese words, Kaitsukutsu shite, Kaitsukutsu shite, Kaitsukutsu shite. Come and live. Come and live. Come and live." That's the invitation this morning. Come to Jesus and live. We remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He gave thanks to His Father, and he broke the bread and He said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you." And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And once again, He gave thanks to His Father, and he poured the cup. He said, "This is my blood which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." Y'all, this morning, this is a table of grace. This is Jesus' table. So when you come this morning, and I know it's just bread and juice, but you're not receiving just bread and juice. This morning, you come and lay those burdens down, and you come and receive Jesus. For the first time or the thousandth time, you come and receive Jesus full into your life. Let that weight go. Let that sin go. Let that addiction go. Let that brokenness go. Let that burden go. Let that weariness go and be filled with the very grace of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.